It's more than a music festival. Life is Beautiful's ambitious goal is to celebrate music, food, art, and learning. Its founder, Raham Chaudhry, says that last year's inaugural festival was so successful that this year he added a day to the event. But there's been a general lack of enthusiasm from the press for this year's musical lineup. This year's lineup includes acts ranging from Kanye West to Lionel Richie. And it's not clear whether this latest arts festival in the desert has a chance of making a profit, at least not anytime soon. Joining us to talk about the challenges of sustaining a mega festival in a town that hasn't traditionally supported them is Raham Chaudhry, founder of Life is Beautiful. Raham, welcome back.
Thanks, Dave.
It's good to have you here. We saw an interview in the Review Journal where you say you've added an extra day to the Life is Beautiful festival because of demand. So how are you measuring the success of last year's event?
So the basic performance metrics are obviously ticket sales, sponsorship sales, attendance, all of which we blew out expectations. But then the really the deciding factors on fan experience and fan feedback, which was tremendous. I mean, after last year's festival, the experience largely was rated one of the top festival experiences in the country, which is incredible given that some of the greatest festivals in the country have been around for 10 plus years. So to be able to take a non-traditional festival footprint, engage an entirely new audience for the very first time and have them really feel a sense of loyalty and a connection with the festival grounds really helped make the decision a lot easier to add a third day and to continue to grow this thing. So we're going to be around for the foreseeable future.
Now, last year, that first year, you told us that a festival organizer had to look long-term and not think about first-year profits. And here's a clip from that conversation.
I'm thinking about this from a 10-year perspective. We're planning out what next year and the year after and year 5 is going to look like and year 10 is going to look like and year 15 is going to look like. In order to do that, you've got to take your eye off of first-year profits for a moment and try to figure out some more meaningful benchmarks. So guest experience, the way people interact with the festival, the energy at the festival, the awareness of the festival, those are the primary drivers of success for us because the profits are going to come as a result of that over time.
Okay, so let me ask, how much money did you lose last year?
one of the keys to running a good business is maintaining something that's close to your vest. But what I can tell you is the difference between last year and this year is last year we had to force ourselves to take our eye off of the short term because it's a first year and you're making a big investment. This year we have the luxury of having some stability, largely in that our ticket sales are through the roof and we're far exceeding our expectations for how this year is going to perform. So the beauty of it is, I mean, at least early indicators suggest we kind of have best of both worlds, where I can go into year 3 saying we have an actual successful festival across all performance metrics and we don't have to worry as much about whether this thing's going to be around in the future.
Okay, so you didn't lose enough to knock you into the creek, but you didn't necessarily come out in the black either.
No, and that wouldn't be expected for
sure.
A first-year festival.
Was it in the range of about what you'd expected?
Absolutely, absolutely. It was well within the range of what we expected, which, I mean, look, when you've got investors putting in this much support, it's really critical for a day one after the festival conversation, say, how did this thing do for us? And unanimously, this thing was a success for all of us. And again, this year, the basic performance metric we can run off this year is just enthusiasm for the lineup and ticket sales. And right now we're seeing both on a national level. So it's an exciting time for us.
I want to ask you a little bit about some of the musical performers who will be coming to this. There have been some media outlets that have characterized the response to the lineup as a little bit underwhelming. It's really fascinating to see Lionel Richie is going to be one of the headliners. He seems a little bit like an outlier.
Yeah.
But you chose him.
Yeah, I mean, so what my role is in curating a festival lineup of any sort is ensuring that the guest experience is phenomenal. So the promises that I make to Las Vegas is that we're going to have a festival that you're going to be proud of. We're going to have a festival that's going to be a great experience, and people around the world are going to talk about it. And my commitment is still that we're going to do that. From our perspective and from the perspective of the industry and the national response we're getting, we have one of the best lineups in the country this year. And acts like Lionel Richie add a level of depth to it that you really want to see. If it was just all alt rock bands or all artists that are targeting 18 to 22 year olds, you kind of miss that like soulful history that you see in music. And I grew up with Lionel Richie. My dad told stories when we were kids about going to see the Commodores, and we grew up on all of those hits. tickets, and to have him there and to expose him to an entirely new young audience of festival goers, but to still have that Las Vegas core of entertainment enthusiasts come and see somebody that they're really familiar with and really have this emotional response to, I think it's going to be a really cool experience.
Yeah, you got Kanye West in there as a headliner as well. Mm-hmm. It's a huge get. It's also, I would imagine, those 18 to 22-year-olds that you were alluding to a moment ago, I would imagine a fair number of people in that demographic are thinking, well, they want to see the smaller, kind of edgier acts.
Yeah.
But you got Kanye.
Yeah, so Kanye is the artist that clearly people love to hate. What's interesting about Kanye is he sold out every run at MGM Garden Arena that he's played since he's been here. His last tour was massive. His last album was one of the biggest in hip-hop history. Over 20 Grammys, was one of the highest Grammy Award winners in music history. He is an artist, and he puts on one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. It's an edgier booking for us. It's clearly a controversial booking for us. We knew going into it that was going to be the case. But again, my commitment is to throw a great event and to throw an event that people are going to talk about for years. And I believe that's one of the critical pieces.
Tell us about one or two of the acts that we haven't heard of yet, but maybe in a year or two we will. We'll be glad we saw them here.
Yeah, so Arctic Monkeys they're far from a new act, but they're a breakout rock band for this year. I liken them to the Black Keys' rise to success from 2 or 3 years ago. They're a phenomenal rock band who last played for me when I was at the Cosmopolitan, and they just put on an amazing show. And I think that's going to be one of the big surprises on our lineup from a performance perspective. One of my favorite acts is The Head and the Heart. They're this really good, like, almost, I hate to say folky because it's not really a folky band, but it's going to appeal to country enthusiasts. It's going to appeal to alt rock enthusiasts. It's going to appeal to a pretty wide age range of people who just want to. It's kind of like you're sitting in the grass and have a beer and enjoy the tunes type of band. And I think people are going to fall in love with them. And that's one of their first play, and it's their first big play in Vegas.
Along the lines of the musical lineup, the video. Announcing the artists. This is pretty epic. Production values are pretty darn good. What did you aim to accomplish as you were helping to put that video together?
It's interesting. Life is Beautiful was founded on a different premise from just producing an event. It was founded on the premise that we wanted to communicate to people that life is beautiful despite the struggles and the pains and the challenges that are associated with all of our journeys through life, that at the end of the road or at the end of the tunnel, there's light and it is bright, and there are people there to support you. And we wanted to present ourselves in that way. And what I wanted to go into this year with is really leading with that sense of purpose. We're not just a music festival for music festival's sake. We're not just a food festival so you can taste great food. We're an experience, and it lives 365 days a year, and it's well beyond just the 3 days of the event. And the video was meant to be a fairly aggressive way to communicate that. It's really to bring a lot of those daily emotions that we all feel to light. And it's been received very interestingly. 50% of the room cries, 50% of the room has commentary about it. But the beauty of it is 100% of the room is actually paying attention, which is just a good conversation to start.
Hmm. So what do you do to elevate an event like this to that kind of seminal event for the people who are there or take part in it?
You know, you gotta create... you got to create social value. So it's amazing what Pasquale Rotella has done with EDC is create a social currency around the way people contribute to the festival experience, how they dress, how they act, how they behave, the degree to which the energy they bring with dancing and social interaction. It's very important. For us, we're putting the same amount of value on that social currency, but for us, it's the beauty that people can showcase in life, right? So it's those stories that people can bring to the festival that can make other people smile, especially at a time where they need to. It's calling out the beauty in other people. It's calling out the beauty in life, the beauty in experiences. And I think that is gonna be something that sets us apart. It's a festival that feels very additive on a day-to-day basis. And you can see how we're contributing to that story via our newly launched website that's full of inspirational video content that tells those positive stories. So we're really trying to blend that into the entire experience.
You have spoken already, just in the last few minutes, of the idea of Life is Beautiful being a multidimensional festival, giving profound weight to music, food, art, education. Are you happy to this point with the way the model's working?
I'm happy with the way... People received it last year. So the way I'll put it is the art program, for example, generated far more awareness for the festival in the 2 weeks prior to the event than I would have ever imagined. It almost took everyone's attention off of what bands were playing and what chefs were going to be there because these massive murals were going up. And to be able to introduce art into people's lives in a city where art isn't necessarily an organic part of the day-to-day. I mean, you have art pockets like the Arts District that popped up over the last several years. You have what's going on in emergency arts over the last several years, but to now have a real street scene was really incredible. And then the people who attended the speakers programming, and we were almost booked out for every single speakers for every single speaker last year, and the audience was very dynamic. To be able to see people in what would normally be characterized as a big party environment, which is usually what a festival is characterized as, to see them come in and actually learn, to actually take away some sort of academic value from their experience is interesting because people are going to carry that for the rest of their life. It doesn't feel like a moment in time event. So in that way, I feel like the model's working. I feel like we can still elevate the other platforms so they feel a little more on par with the music. Just given the way festival dynamics are today, the music's very polarizing and attracts a lot of attention. But we've got, I believe, the best culinary lineup in the country this year, and I think people of all ages are going to experience that for the first time, and we still have yet to announce art and learning, which we're going to soon.
Mm. Speaking of the culinary lineup, what can visitors expect out of the culinary experience this time?
I'm having some of the craziest creative conversations I've ever had with Chef Jose Andres, who's got two restaurants in Vegas now over at the Cosmopolitan, has opened several more over at the new SLS properties. I think 2012's chef, number one chef on the planet. When he's engaged, he's really engaged. We're talking about large-scale paella lessons. We're talking about an entire sea of solar kitchens and doing sustainable cooking. Bruce Bromberg with Blue Ribbon Restaurants, who's on our culinary advisory board, is talking about building these massive custom grills in the shapes of guitars and serving thousands of pounds worth of grilled either vegetables or different meats. When chefs get engaged, the level of creativity just amps up to a level that you normally wouldn't see in just a traditional festival. So what the guest is going to see, in a weird way, I don't know. We're still putting it together. We still have a lot of really great ideas that we're combing through. What I can tell you is it's going to feel like more of a substantive, even if that's a word, but it's going to feel like a deeper culinary experience and more of a substantial food and wine festival than even last year's was.
So in terms of numbers, tell us what needs to happen this year for the festival to be a success as you look at it.
So obviously we're adding an entire third day. So we would, at the very least, would like to do an incremental increase over last year's 30,000 a day to add to that third day. The beauty of it is last year the vast majority of our tickets were two-day tickets, so the vast majority of our at least response has been around three-day tickets this year. We'll likely go on with single days later, but we have a strong enough lineup that, at least on a national perspective, people are really buying into the idea of committing themselves, coming in on Thursday for our kickoff parties and staying through Monday morning and hitting all of those days. So at a basic level, it's adding the third day, full attendance, and then incrementally growing year over year. And that's really the goal. It's every year we want to grow this thing a little bit more and get it on the same platform as the larger festivals in the world.
For years and years and years, Amazon had red ink everywhere you turned, mm-hmm. and they were just kind of saying, just wait. Right. And here we are now in 2014, and they're not having any problems with red ink anymore. I mean, you kind of looking at that with Life is Beautiful? I mean, is that sort of the mindset where just wait?
Yeah, I mean, 10 years ago, if I'd done this, it would have just been an event, right? And we would have approached it just from an event perspective. With the partners that I have with the Downtown Project and Tony Hsieh and our CEO Andrew Donner and our COO Josh Ripple, the conversation is elevated to just a different degree. So when you want to talk about the way Amazon was developed, Tony's been as much involved with the development of Amazon over the years as anyone else has. And that logic's absolutely going to apply to the growth and the development of Life is Beautiful. We're looking at this as a global brand that we're trying to develop. We're looking at this as a larger business platform and something, again, that Vegas is going to be proud of over the long term. How that equates from investment over time versus other festivals or other organizations, I don't really know. I mean, right now we're just one festival, but we have some really grand ideas of what we want to do. And I think the corporate experience that my partners bring, and then my passion for music and food and entertainment is a healthy combination. So we'll see where it goes.
Rayon Chaudhry is founder of Life is Beautiful. Rayon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.